today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, once again, a new California law makes life better for consumers all over the country. And Amtrak says ridership on its trains this year will set a new record.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, Mark talks about navigating our airports during the busy summer months. Well, with particular emphasis on parking and the importance of ride sharing.
Do you know the way to San Jose? It's a place filled with history and fun things to do. Our road reporter Steve LaRosa has some tips on your next visit to San Jose at 11:35.
And in our odds and ends report at 11:50, we tell you about California's new state park. Plus, the airport in Newark has a new luggage sanitation system. Mark's going to explain how to get your bag through the luggage car wash.
Travel information you just can't get anywhere else. We've gathered it all together for you on this week's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Hello, hello, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for dialing in. Don't forget now, you can find us on the radio here, and you can find us on podcasts in a couple of places at iHeartRadio, KFBK.com, and of course at TravelGuysRadio.com. Hello, Mark, all the way from St. Louis. How are you today? What's going on?
Hey, buddy, I'm here in what I would consider to be the best baseball city in the country. These folks love their Cardinals here. Whether they're winning championships or not, this town is all about baseball. It's warm here in the Midwest, my friend, and it's about to get... We're headed up to Chicago to watch some games with the Giants here in a couple days. I'm going to a family wedding this afternoon, and then some folks are going to fly in... My buddy Tyler, and we're going to take him to see some baseball games in Chicago between the Giants and Cubs. It's going to be warm up there. We're going to be, sweating like sweating.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, it's just part of what goes on when you travel and you go to baseball games. You're going to get different stuff in different locations. It's just part of the field of dreams, you might say.
Well, the best part, Tom, is that, you know, years ago, if you remember, in Chicago there were no lights. So there were only day games. So we would have been facing three day games in the heat. Fortunately, because there are lights at Wrigley Field now, our Monday and Tuesday games are night games, which should make it a little easier to tolerate. And I feel bad for the Cubs fans because the Giants are going to beat them, but that's just, you know, part of life.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it right from the sports guy's mouth. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, of course, here's Mark.
Here's a story that might become more important as the summer wears on. The headline says, travel attendants stage nationwide protest. Thousands of flight attendants from multiple major airlines protested at 30 major airports nationwide Tuesday, demanding that their employers come through with higher pay in ongoing contract negotiations. We talked about this. Remember, Tom, a few months ago when the pilots were getting those big raises?
Right.
And we said, you know, do you really think if they're giving the pilots 25, 30, 40% over multiple years in a contract, that the ground handlers and the flight attendants and the gate agents and all of those other people who make the system run, if you thought they were just going to sit back and watch all that happen, well, here's your answer. They're not. They want their share also. And so I would say this is a shot over the bow. The flight attendants, especially the ones at American Airlines, are really not happy. And imagine what would happen if flight attendants walked out even for a couple of days. So my guess is that the airlines will realize that. And while flight attendants are not pilots, you're not flying airplanes without them. So this is a story that we'll kind of keep an eye on.
With that being said, Mark, and there's been situations like this in the past. Has it historically, when we give pirates, I think we might have called them, and right now the flight attendants want to be pirates too. And does this usually result in increases in airfare?
We haven't seen the pilots do this well for quite a while. It's been a long time since the pilots have been given increases like that. And the reason they're important is because they're at the top of the food chain. So then it starts to trickle down. I think I can't speak specifically to airlines, but I think this is pretty normal, Tom. You know, when people at McDonald's start making $20, the people at the little drive-in down the street that isn't a nationwide chain and doesn't follow under that law, they're not going to be really interested in working for $16.50 anymore. So the airlines had to anticipate that this would happen. Of course it will mean, to your question, of course it will mean an increase in airfares, because that's the way this works. When the expenses go up, why then the fares go up with it. And I'm sure the airlines on some level are sensitive to that, because airfares have gone up so much in recent years. But the other thing is, you have to pay your people. And, you know, your pilots only interact with a very small percentage of your customers. It's your frontline people and your flight attendants and people like that who really represent the face of your company. So if they're not happy, and that starts to reflect in their job performance and their attitude towards customers, then that's a really bad thing. So my guess is the airlines knew that this would happen, that they would have to pony up, and that what we're seeing now is just negotiating tactics to try to make sure that the, you know, 30% pay package raise over 4 years is only 28%. So I think that's what you're starting to see now is negotiations. I can't imagine a scenario where an airline would let, especially after they took all this money from taxpayers over COVID, that they would allow, if one major airline went out of business for a few days, imagine the havoc that would cause in the middle of the summer.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Speaking of havoc at airlines, an activist investor has disclosed a $1.9 billion stake in Southwest Airlines this week. It's an activist hedge fund called Elliott Management. They do this occasionally to different companies that they feel are underperforming. And so that's why they have invested in Southwest Airlines. It is a literal kick in the seat of the pants to the board of directors and the airline management. And they're kind of saying, you know, you guys can do better. And your stock price should be higher, and you should be running a more efficient operation. So we'll see what happens there. Cruise lines are going to display inclusive prices under a new California law. This is not the first time this has happened. So next time your friends tell you that everybody in California is crazy, here's a story you can come back to them with. Cruise lines, including Carnival Cruise Lines, because of the California law that's going into effect here very shortly, that requires them to include all mandatory and taxes and fees in their advertised prices, have said, in the state of California, have said Carnival has joined a growing list of cruise lines that says, this is just the way we're going to do business all over the country. It's way too much trouble to do it in two separate ways. So I will suggest to you that California's legislature, God knows, lawmakers, goodness gracious, when do they do something that helps us? But this might be that one time when they have forced the junk fees. At least you're going to know what the junk fees are before you agree to the cruise. You're not going to have them added on later. And the reason that Carnival has decided to do this nationally is because they have to do it in California. So yay for us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Well, you know, now if we can just get the all of the extra fees that are charged every time you buy a ticket to anything, then life will even get better.
We're at least moving slowly in a positive direction, I think, on this. I think the public has gotten to the point where they're more aware, and they're more fed up, and they're more likely to give a negative reaction. And what these people are counting on is the fact they can charge you these fees, and you'll walk away from the counter, and you'll be okay with it. So when you let them know, even in a polite way, that you're not okay with it, or you send a letter to the board of directors or the manager or the GM or something like that, when those start to pile up, they have no choice but to look at that and at least consider the possibility of what it's doing to their business model. So keep it up. I mean, we're leaning on them a little bit, and we're starting to get a little bit of reaction. Okay, let's move on here. Apple Siri is gaining travel planning capabilities. A couple weeks ago at a convention, I watched as AI created a travel itinerary with a few prompts in a room full of travel people in about 30 seconds. It wasn't completely accurate, but it was one heck of a start. Would have saved you a lot of time if you were planning a vacation or if you were a tour operator planning products for your customers. So Siri now has gained travel planning capabilities. It can't book a flight for you, but you can ask Siri, I want to make a five-day vacation on the Oregon coast, and I want to visit Coos Bay. Tell me some places that I can go and things that I can see in and around Coos Bay in a five-day period. Oh, and I'm a 55-year-old traveler with a wife and a son and two grandkids on the trip. And by golly, there it'll come. So, yeah, the world is changing right before our eyes. When you get done listening to the radio show, go ask Siri to plan your next vacation. But be aware of the fact that a recent survey by the American Hotel and Lodging Association says that 76% of U.S. hotels continue to have a shortage of workers. 13%, that's about, what, 1 in 8, say they are severely understaffed still at this point. And here's kind of a cool story, Tom. Hockey fans are making the pilgrimage to Florida. The Edmonton Oilers fans are making a noticeable presence in Florida as several thousand Canadians have traveled south to watch their hockey team chase the Stanley Cup against the Florida Panthers. An Oilers fan from Nova Scotia says it's cheaper for him to fly to Florida than to Edmonton, keeping in mind Halifax is a ways from both places. And a really nice ticket costs $1,000 in Florida and more like $5,000 in Alberta. So Canadian hockey fans are fleeing to Florida in order to watch their team. We said in the headlines, Amtrak is set to break ridership records on its trains this year, exceeding pre-COVID numbers by as much as 20%, particularly on its busiest route between Boston and Washington, D.C. And one last item here, younger travelers, says the headlines, are driven by tech and authentic connections as opposed to bonuses and loyalty programs. So this travel survey by Deloitte, which is an accounting firm that issues these types of surveys from time to time, says the travel industry needs to make a shift from traditional rewards programs and focus on offering smaller rewards and unique perks to become favored by the younger generations in travel. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Don't forget now, links to our special guests and so much more can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, you know, it's almost Father's Day, and coming up here, like tomorrow, we used to have our radio show on Sundays for 14 years, and all of those days were started with Happy Father's Day, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Easter. At any rate, what I want to tell you is that I'm not completely sure, but I would give it a shot. If you haven't planned to take Dad someplace for Father's Day, Rudy's would be a perfect choice. Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, they'll be able to hook you up there. You can give them a call and see if there's some reservations left at 916-351-0606. Of course, you can pick up gift cards for Dad at Rudy's, and they got a special going on. If you buy a $100 gift card, you can get a $20 one for yourself, and you buy a 50, you can get 10. So it's a win-win. And don't forget, they still have the Travel Guy Special available. Travel Guy Special, of course, is that 6-ounce lobster tail dinner for $29.95. Always a great place, whether it's Father's Day or any day. Rudy's Lobster House. That's just off Highway 50 at Hazel. All right, when we come back after a tiny timeout, Travel Guys continue with more stuff to make you a smarter traveler. We're going to dip into navigating airports during the busy summer season. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Here with travel information you can use, we are the place. TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark and Tom with you. Thanks for coming along. I was just out to the airport a couple of days ago, and then again yesterday flying out of Las Vegas. It was kind of interesting, Mark. I chose to just get a ride.
Yeah.
You know, like I mentioned before, I mean, you try to give others rides to the airport and so forth, and when the time comes and you need one, then they can reciprocate. And boy, I'll tell you, it's a world of difference. And I did check with Uber and Lyft and looked at the numbers. I mean, depending on the time of day and so forth, $40-$50 sometimes.
Yep.
To get out
each
get
way.
Out there from,
each way, important to remember each way.
Each way. And so anyway, let's talk about that for the summer. We're pretty much convinced this is going to be one of the busiest travel summers in several years.
It is. And really, truly, parking at the airport is going to be a challenge. I'm not trying to rag the airport. They know this. Our airport, in a wonderful way, grew much faster, perhaps, than people had anticipated. We have a lot more service and nonstops and all kinds of that wonderful stuff. But we've outgrown part of our infrastructure, and it's going to take a couple of years for us to catch up. And really and truly, Tom, I left yesterday morning, a Friday morning. I was out in the searching for a spot in the ground lot, the daily lot, at 7 a.m. There were a couple dozen spots, basically closer to downtown Sacramento than the two of the terminals, from a walking standpoint. But, you know, there are shuttle buses. And what it meant was that I had anticipated this possibility. And so it meant my walk into the terminal was 5, 6, 7 minutes longer, or my wait for the shuttle bus if I didn't happen to catch it right. Would have taken a little more time. If that lot had been completely full, I would have had to double back to one of the further out lots. And that would have taken a little more time, and then the shuttle bus again to get in. So really and truly, unless you're catching the 5:15 to Denver, you're probably going to be able to find a spot without trouble, because overnight, late night, a lot of people will leave. Those spots take a few hours to fill up. But on Friday morning, by 7 a.m., all the spots that have been left from the night before were basically gone. So do yourself a favor, and the people traveling with you, and so you don't have to panic and start your vacation off with all that stress. It way better to be sitting at the gate for 15 or 20 minutes than to be standing in line or wondering if you're going to make it, or how am I going to find a parking space. Better idea, don't drive out there at all. If you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, we pick all of our people up at their home with a shared car service, and we take them to the airport, and we pick them up and take them back home as part of the service that we provide. I will suggest to you, as travelers, you need to look at that type of service, not necessarily from a private car company, even Uber or Lyft, but make a deal with your next-door neighbor and say, hey, you know, you take me to the airport this summer, I'll take you to the airport when you go on vacation. Also, think about something. If you park at the airport, not only do you need to compare the costs, which, you know, the surface lot's $13 a day, so 7 days, $91. I can almost do an Uber round trip for that from my home. Plus the fact that I don't have to walk all the way out to my car when I get home and walk all the way in. So those are considerations too. You know, what is your time worth? How early do you want to get up in the morning? When you get in at 11 o'clock at night, you know, how long do you want to wait for a shuttle bus and get out to your car to get home? So really and truly, consider the possibility of hitching a ride to the airport in some way, shape, or form. Because that will help you. Another possibility is many of the hotels that are over in the Natomas area have rates, airport rates, that will include parking for the time that you need to be there. Now, in some cases, those rates are not, they're not fair. The numbers don't add up well. But in some cases, they do. So if you're going on vacation for a couple of weeks, and you're going to be gone that long, and you've got a few points in your wallet, then use those points to get a hotel room out there, leave your car, pay them whatever the upcharge is for parking, and you may still find that you still come out better, and they'll shuttle you to and from the airport. So there are some alternatives. It will get better in a year or two. We're going to have another parking garage, and life will be good. But for right now, you got to think about this a little bit, because if you just show up at the airport an hour and a half, or God forbid, an hour before your flight, and there's no place to park, I'm going to suggest to you that your life is going to get a lot more difficult in the short run.
You know, also one of the other factors is the with the construction going on at the airport, there's a lot of construction going on the freeways, on I-5, both directions, in fact, coming and then leaving. And you do a little research. They have opened up Elkhorn Boulevard to connect to the to the airport area. In fact, when I came home last night, it was late. We had a delayed flight, so we're talking about 11 o'clock at night. There was a line just to get on the freeway at I-5.
Yes.
That was 20 minutes. I went ahead and took the loop around to Elkhorn Boulevard that takes you out to Highway 99. It's kind of dark and out in the middle of nowhere, but it's open. It was clear, no traffic. Take you out to 99, you jump on there, and you're headed back towards I-5, and then you got choices to your destination home, regardless of where you live. That will be a little bit quicker. So look at alternate routes. They're still working on improvements on some of the roadways, but there are, and there will continue to be. So lots to
think about. The other thing really truly is for your, I know I say this a lot on air, and my travelers grouse a lot about that 5:15 to Denver. We use United Airlines a lot. That's the first flight out in the morning. But it also means that we're the first connecting bank in Denver. So, and most of those planes we're connecting to have come from the West Coast. So this would be the same if you were flying Delta to Salt Lake City. Maybe not so much American to Dallas, but certainly Salt Lake City would fit into that category. You take an early flight. You've now got an early connection. The chances of something going wrong weather-wise or something, because the weather often gets worse in parts of the country as the day goes on and the weather warms up. So you can avoid that by dragging your raggedy butt out of bed in the middle of the night, literally, and going out to the airport and taking that O-Dark 100 flight. Now the parking situation is much better. It's warm in the summertime anyway, so you're not freezing to death at that hour of the morning. There just are a lot of considerations. Also, when you're on vacation and you're planning attractions and stuff, plan things for early in the day. Get out of bed, do it early in the day, get an early start. Take a nap in the afternoon. You'll beat a lot of the crowds and you'll have a much better experience.
Good advice from a vintage traveler, my friends. I think the best takeaway of all of this, again, is to start buddying up with people you know to get a ride to the airport and give them a ride and just kind of, you know, solve the whole issue. All right, here on the Travel Guys, what do we got? We're coming up at the bottom of the hour here. We're going to take a short news break. When we return, though, the Travel Guys, well, the question is, do you know the way to San Jose? Huh? That's where we're headed next here on the Travel Guys with Steve LaRosa. That's our Got to Get Away theme. Great choice, Steve, from the Rolling Stones. Boys and girls, we're back. It's Mark and Tom again with Steve LaRosa. We're on the road for some fun here in California. All right, Steve, let's get started. We mentioned last week that you were off to a place that most folks wouldn't think of as a entertainment necessarily destination, except for maybe one or two things that people might know about, and that is San Jose, California.
Yeah, I did spend a couple of days in San Jose, and really, you're going to be, I think, surprised. There's a lot of great stuff. If I can, I'd like to start you off with some trivia about San Jose. Their motto is, it's the capital of Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. A lot of money there, Tom. It's the headquarters for Cisco, eBay, Adobe, PayPal, and Zoom. And it's a big skyline. It's the third largest GDP in the world after Zurich and Oslo. And here's your trivia question, Tom. Guess the size in terms of the population rank in California. Where does it fall behind the large major cities?
Large major cities. Well, you know, it can be very deceiving, you know. If we're talking about market size, San Jose, you know, and San Francisco, San Francisco. Okay, I'm going with 10.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Do we have any lovely parting gifts for Tom? Actually, Tom, it's number 3 behind L.A. and San Diego.
Well, okay, then. With that being said, let's have you tell us a little bit about some of the high points and things that you saw there in San Jose.
Okay, let me start you off with the San Pedro Market. It's the San Pedro Square Market, and to call it an indoor-outdoor food court would be a disservice. So let me see if I can describe it. It's two separate buildings, and it features a dozen or so restaurants and bars, and they are separated by a plaza outside with numerous tables. But also in the plaza is a historical building. It's called the Peralta Adobe, and it was built in 1797 and was occupied by the second mayor of San Jose, and it's restored to mirror life during that time, and it's a fun spot. They have guided tours, by the way, and all that information and the links to everything else I'll be telling you can be found
at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Thank you for jumping in on that one.
Yeah, as always.
So the next stop was Urban Putt, and it's a very unique restaurant and bar.
Okay. What makes it unique, Steve?
Ready for this? Under the same roof, an 18-hole miniature golf course.
Oh.
And which they feature holes with themes like the San Jose Sharks, where you're going to chip it up into his jaws, and the Winchester Mystery House.
Well, cool. All right. I am a huge miniature golf fan. I will travel for miniature golf. We've done miniature golf tours in Southern California. We did one in Lake Tahoe. They've got some great ones. I'm going to have to put this one on my list for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think you'd enjoy it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We got entertainment and lots more with Steve LaRosa on the road with us today to San Jose.
So the next stop was the San Jose History Park. Now, I think this place is incredible. It's 14 acres, and there's over 30 original and reproduction homes, businesses, and landmarks, which covered the era from 1850 to 1970. Stuff like a recreation of the Bank of Italy, which eventually became the Bank of America. They have the Pacific Hotel, looks like about, if I remember correctly, two or three stories high, livestock stables, an old doctor and dental offices, a print shop, a firehouse with a pole, a post office, and a operational trolley. And here's the other thing about San Jose, and this park represents it. There's so much diversity, and in the history park, they have representations of the Portuguese, Latino, Japanese, Vietnamese communities, and costumed docents. They're scattered throughout the property sharing history, or they'll be performing demonstrations. And if you plan your visit, I would recommend you go on their website and see when one of the many thematic dates are scheduled. Now, I say that because we stumbled into, the day we were there, the Asian American and Pacific Islanders were presenting, and they had foods, crafts, and various presentations, including the festive dragon parade. Here's your trivia question. What structure is visible across the street?
Wow.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
You can see a jumbotron and hear the play-by-play.
Oh, wow. It wouldn't be the, let's see, the San Jose Sharks Arena?
That's close by, but I was referring to the San Jose Giants single-A baseball team.
Oh, that's right. They have their ball club over there, too. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, I know you had a great time at your next stop. You told me about this a few weeks ago. In fact, you brought me a bottle of wine from there. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, the place is called Italy. Obviously, that's a takeoff on Italy. Of course, it's in San Jose, but they have one. They have two in Los Angeles, one or two in New York. I know that. And it's described as Silicon Valley's favorite food destination. And it's my favorite food destination now. It's located in the Valley Fair Mall, and it occupies three stories of Italian everything. So I'm going to give you a quick tour, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the first floor, pastries, coffee shop, pizza by the slice, gelato line, which stretched out into the mall. Second floor, over 1,000 wines and liquor with free samplings. And we ran out of time at around 800 samplings ourselves. Third floor, countless chocolates, fresh bread from their wood-burning oven, a fresh fish case, a meat case, a cheese case, house-made sauces. fresh pasta, Italian Houseways, a mozzarella lab made fresh daily, fresh produce, and a pantry with over 2,000 products. And we ate outside at one of their two restaurants called Terra, and it's outside on the patio, and we had a dish of fresh, delicious pasta, which they make every day. And like I said at the beginning, Valley Fair Market, it's like shopping in Beverly Hills. I mean, like I said at the beginning, a lot of money in this.
There's so much to see in San Jose. who would have thought? Great stuff, Steve. By the way, yeah. Steve, I see you have a lot of honorable mentions on your list here. I want to let folks know that we will have a link to all of the things we've talked about, as well as the honorable mentions right there at TravelGuysRadio.com. All right. Thanks, Steve. You stay well. Look forward to your next report.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Do you know the way to San?
I'm going to Italy for lunch. It's a little ways from St. Louis, so I may be a little bit late. But
well, as Steve mentioned, they have them in a lot of different locations. In fact, there I ran across one in Las Vegas, believe it or not. And
wow.
It does sound like a really cool place, whether you're Italian or not.
Well,
all
that's
right.
The deal. San Jose is a destination that people often overlook when they're saying. And what happens is you find yourself in San Jose. You know, you have a meeting or something like that, and suddenly you're in San Jose, and it's like, you know, where am I going to eat? What am I going to? I've got 2 hours here to kill. What am I going to do? So, yeah, good report. Thanks, Steve.
And you can only go to the Winchester Mystery House so many times.
Maybe
once. I asked Steve, I says, how come I didn't hear much about the mystery? He says, no. He says, you know, I've done that. A lot of people have done that. It's just kind of like, there's other stuff that I think is more interesting at this point in time. All right, let's see. Where are we? It's almost time for the odds and ends segment. What are we going to talk about in the next segment there, Mark?
There is a new way to get your luggage sanitized after you land. I told folks it was at the Newark airport. I misspoke. It's at JFK airport, which is a little less likely for people from Sacramento, but kind of an interesting idea if you could get all that junk washed off your baggage real inexpensively before you took it to your house.
Absolutely. Get rid of all of those bed bugs that got picked up on your trip. That's coming up next right here on The Travel Guys. Welcome, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to our special guests and all we talk about. Links to the different locations that Steve LaRosa just covered will be up on the website a little later. And you can help find them right there at TravelGuysRadio.com. Okay, Mark, let's begin. Now, let's talk about the luggage sanitation system.
Hey, can we do a quick go back there before we get into that? You mentioned there that things would be posted on the website a little bit later. We have a little bit of a technical issue today, so the links to the things that we mentioned on the broadcast and some of the links that Steve was talking about in San Jose, those are not going to be up until probably later this afternoon or this evening. So if you regularly go to our website to find out more information about things we mentioned on the show, if you go there now, you won't find this week's write-up. You'll find last week's. That's my fault. It'll be on later on this afternoon. So make yourself a little note, and maybe the next time you sit down at your computer, well, you can check that out. Okay, luggage washing. I thought this is probably the most unique story that's come along in a while, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would, and boy, do I have questions about this, but maybe you'll answer them when you give me the details.
All right, well, it's a test run at JFK International Airport in New York City, and the luggage sanitation system will only be in one terminal, so it's Terminal 7. It's the first of its kind. In commercial aviation, it's the technology is said to eliminate 99.9% of luggage pathogens. The company is called Clean, and it has made a deal with the folks that manage JFK's Terminal 7, partnering on the deal. Depending on the size of an airplane and, you know, the number of passengers on it, some aircraft carry more than a couple hundred pieces of luggage per flight. So your bag is going to come in contact with a lot of stuff. And you're going to take that bag home and you're going to put it on your floor. Or if you're like me, you might even put it on your couch to unload it. And then all that junk is going to be, all that goop is going to be wherever you put your bag. You take it into the hotel room, wherever, you're taking all that stuff with you. So this seems like, on the surface, a really cool idea. The trial is going to go on this summer at JFK. It's 10, I know one of your questions has to be, what's this going to cost? $10 for two bags. So that seems pretty fair.
Okay.
Terminal 7 has about 2,000 flights a month, so they have about 60, 70 flights a day.
Okay, so it's a voluntary thing. I thought it was going to be, you know, that comes off the plane, you're going to come get your luggage before you do, it's going to go through this sanitation system, and then you're going to get it. I didn't even think it was going to cost me anything. But this is something clean that they're offering as a test to clean your bags. Now, people's bags are all different. Some are cloth. Some are hard plastic or hard surface. So I'm guessing that this isn't a product in the process of sanitizing that actually is going to be a wet clean. It must be some sort of a chemical or whatever clean.
And I don't have complete details on that, except to tell you that the CEO of Clean says that this will not work for every bag. He said, but it will work for about 95% of bags, that are the material that bags are made out of. The way it works is that you gather your baggage from the baggage claim carousel, and then you take them to this machine, and literally within seconds, think sending your bag through a TSA screening. So the gentleman says that it's going to take less time than that. And then your bag will be free of all these pathogens. I agree with you. I think this is some kind of a dry cleaning type of sanitizing effect. But how interesting that, you know, nobody, first of all, how long, it took somebody a long time to think of this or to think of a way. I picture these guys at the car wash with the rags, you know, when the car comes out and they're all wiping your car down furiously. They're grabbing your bags and wiping them down. I don't think that's quite the situation, but anyone who is listening, a Travel Guys listener, you go to JFK this summer and you happen to see this and experience it and try it, or you know somebody who does, drop us a note at travelguysradio.com. I would love to talk to you to find out what you thought about it, and I'll try to look into it a little bit more, because it sounds like if it's something that people would use, I probably wouldn't put my bag through it every time I flew, but I would consider it on occasion.
Well, you know, bottom line, everybody in regards to being germaphobes or otherwise are dramatically different. But there is a contingency of folks, and for good reason, would very much like to be able to sanitize their bags before they take them home. You know, here again, if it's nothing more than for bed bugs, because that is a problem. Yep. They do end up on your luggage probably more than any other place. Sometimes not necessarily from a hotel stay, but sometimes from being with other luggage on the plane. So those that are extra cautious would be probably very happy, including my wife and daughter. And, you know, I go along with it too, to make peace in the family. And just run them through there before you drag them home. Otherwise, you know, they're living in the backyard or in the garage until you feel safe, and then, or Tom has to go out and vacuum them.
You put the luggage in the garage? Oh, well, I don't have a garage, so my luggage has to live in my house.
Yeah, no, it starts in the garage. Of course, when the weather's nice, I'll take it out back under the gazebo and put it up on the coffee table and let it air out there. But, we get, and we're not the only ones. Specific instructions. The luggage goes from the automobile directly into the garage, where you then extract all the clothing and such that goes into the wash, and then you get the vacuum out, and Tom meticulously vacuums all the crevices and places where anything could survive, and then of course, I don't travel as frequently as you do. It stays in the garage.
Thank goodness.
And we, and then with the weather like it is, we heat it up enough to do. We can burn them all out by the time we travel again.
So now you know what it's like to experience travel with the Romano family. For those of you who might have been wondering. So I'm guessing that Tom will be looking into getting one of these machines and installing it in his home.
I can only
imagine what kind of crud could be on my suitcase. I've had this Eagle Creek suitcase for probably 10, 12 years, and to my knowledge, it's never been washed, wiped down, or it probably could walk away on its own.
Well, you travel a lot with a lot of people, and I know, Mark, you've told me pretty much, I've asked, that you have not run into any bed bug issues. You know, other kind of pathogens and bacteria and stuff is a whole other story. Those you can't see, and they're not biting your arm. But I'll tell you, one time, and it'll change for you.
I have no doubt. I have a good friend who travels with me often who is a little bit of a germaphobe, so I'm going to share this story with him. He'll be wanting to know why there isn't one of these washing machines, and, you know, you just take your luggage over and put it through the car wash before you take it home, so I think it's a lovely
clean
idea.
Clean now. It's called clean, not clear.
No, not clear.
Don't be confused.
You do clear upstairs, you do clean downstairs, and whatever else you do in the middle is up to you. all right, a couple other things here on our odds and ends mailbag here. This is kind of cool. We have a new state park in California. I would not have known this, but for the news feed, it's called Dos Rios State Park. It has officially opened in Modesto. Just this last week, it took 20 years for this to become a reality. It's a flyway park, so the wildlife that's around there, a lot of birds, and they are going to have interpreters and stuff that will teach people about the wildlife that lives in the area. As I mentioned, it's very close to Modesto. Dos Rios State Park, if you want to go someplace that nobody's been yet, then this would be it. This would be your op. Maybe I should create a sports leisure vacations day trip to go visit this place next spring or something like that, or in the fall when the birds are using the flyway or something. There you go.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. It's over off of a Shiloh Road in Modesto. I grew up in Modesto. I just looking it up on my computer, just curious as to where it is. And that's fascinating.
First new state park in California in 20 years. We have, interestingly enough, we have more state parks than any other state. Of course, we have more landmass than most states, and we have, you know, more scenery than Texas. So they may be bigger, but, you know, we have like an ocean and mountains and things like that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. If you are an air aviation geek and you are going to be in Charlotte at the Douglas Airport, they have opened a plane spotting area. When you were a little kid, did you ever used to go out by the airport, Tom, and watch planes take off and land or anything like that? Is that the thing?
Well, here again, Modesto boy. Modesto didn't really have an airport, I don't go into all details, but I lived out in the peach orchards. We had peaches, and the crop dusters would come and crop dust the fields, and that was a big deal, man, because they come right down on top of you, but you don't really want to get sprayed. But we would sneak out into the orchards and find little spots and watch these crop dusters go by. You could see the guy. He'd wave at you. So anyway, as you were,
the Charlotte Douglas Airport has opened a plane spotting area. You don't have to have an airline ticket. It's about 2 miles from the airport. 600,000 square feet, has a playground. If you've got the kids with you, it's got food trucks. This sounds like a tremendous idea.
It does.
For people to
absolutely
be able to, in Charlotte, you can see this new, brand new airport viewing area, which you might find to be really, really, really cool. So,
awesome.
Anyways,
yeah.
couple of ideas there are places that people can check out.
Very good. Well, we're nearing the end of an interesting travel guys show. Mark in St. Louis, Tom here. We'll be back next week with more information. You just can't get anywhere else in regards to making you a smarter traveler. Mark, final word.
Dance like nobody's watching and keep an eye on the temperature in Chicago this week because we'll be there.
All right, my friends, you stay well. Remember now, travelguysradio.com. Our links will be up later tonight or first thing tomorrow of stuff from today's show. Stay well. See you next week.
KFPK Sacramento.
KFPK FM. Pollock Pines.
For local news, breaking news, traffic, and weather, KFPK. Sacramento's News Radio.